You know, one of the things, of course, is late October, where the amateur astronomers were simply amazed when they saw this object that was so small originally, Comet Holmes, appear in the sky, got very bright. A full moon a few days ago kind of hid it from us for a while.
Yeah.
But an incredible story. Let's start with you on this, Wallace. What do you think happened to this comet?
Well, I think, George, that what happened was that it suddenly began discharging more strongly than it had in the past. When that happens, the first thing that occurs is a glow discharge. And because it's an electrical phenomenon around a tiny central object, it forms a giant sphere. And that sphere is glowing. So the brightness of the comet suddenly went from something that no one would notice in the sky to something that you could see easily with the naked eye. It brightened, I think, over a million times from what it was before. And this is easily explained in electrical terms, but in terms of material being outgassed from the tiny comet nucleus, first, you wouldn't expect it to form a neat sphere around the object, and second, you wouldn't expect it to be that bright.
The electrical event that seems to surround this comet, and we'll, of course, talk about what else is out there in the universe, then that's what you think is sparking this brightness, this glow all around it?
Yes, it seems that Comet Holmes must have struck a change in the solar wind environment. In other words, the electrical environment of the sun as it moves out to, past the planets. Sometimes it takes with it regions where there is either stronger charge or more dense solar wind, or the speed of the wind changes suddenly. It's these sudden changes which can give rise to an outburst from a comet.
David, could it have hit what some are talking about as dark matter?
That's right. I've seen that suggestion. And, of course, some had suggested that it hit a rock out there, which is highly implausible in that region. The issue with dark matter is so obscure. It's really reaching to excess. The problem for our standard theories of comets is that Holmes was moving far, far from the sun. It was moving away from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It was out past the orbit of Mars. And in fact, it spends its time between the orbits of Mars and the sun. So there was no plausible...
Mars and Jupiter, David.
Hello?
Between Mars and Jupiter.
Mars and Jupiter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, indeed. I don't even remember now what I said, but it must have been crazy. Okay, yes, that's where it spends its time. And that comet actually exploded into light in 1892 as well. So here's a very undistinguished comet that has brightened inexplicably twice. In 1892, when it brightened so surprisingly, it was out close to Jupiter's orbit. So the model of comets, which sees them as evaporating in the warmth of the sun, has not worked for Comet Holmes, and it has not worked for many other comets as well that have mysteriously disintegrated millions of miles from the sun or exhibited enigmatic outbursts as they are out as far as Saturn's orbit from the sun.
And
so
what,
there's a great mystery there.
What are some of the comets? I mean, physicist James McCanney believes that they may not be just all icy bodies. Some could be iron and rock. As well, both of you, you David, then you Wallace, what do you think a comet might be?
Well, I think it's quite well established by the whole body of evidence, George, that we are already visiting comets that are rocky bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You see them very sharply.
Like an asteroid? Similar?
They're very similar. In fact, really indistinguishable from asteroids, except that they are moving through the electric field of the sun in a way that asteroids are not.
Okay.
So we're really at a critical juncture in the history of astronomy and cosmology, because in our view now, NASA scientists are going to meet up with a rock in space that is discharging electrically in a considerable cometary display. And in that one discovery, once it becomes undeniable that it it is not an icy body, you will see a revolution in the view of the solar system, because that requires then an electric field of the sun. And if the electric field of the sun is strong enough at those distances to create a cometary display, then there is an electric field sufficient to light the sun. And that throws into doubt then the standard fusion model of the sun. That's like a series of dominoes then that reaches out to stellar formation and stellar evolution and so on.
So you're saying it may not be the sun alone that is creating this field, that the field may be in the universe.
The field is creating the sun.
Yes.
In truth, that's the electric model of the sun, and the sun is connected to galactic currents that are not visible streams of charged particles, but we are meeting up with electric fields in space everywhere we go, and the consequent magnetic fields pervade the universe. So this is the electric universe, and I am just proud to be aligned with Wal Thornhill, who has really pioneered an interdisciplinary vision of the electric universe.
Wallace, is this electric field, is it throughout the universe, or is it just in certain spots and areas?
The electric field tends to be concentrated in certain spots, and over large distances, it may be very weak. For instance, within the solar system, between the planets, the electric field is very weak. So we don't see cosmic rays striking the Earth from due to that electric field.
Okay.
But when you get very close to the sun, then you see the sort of energy that's involved in the electric field of the sun when you reach the corona, because the corona is millions of degrees in temperature, although using temperature as a measure of the energy there is actually incorrect. So, and the very fact that the comet itself was larger than the sun, that sphere that I mentioned earlier, that glowing sphere or coma, was actually larger than the sun. And this is typical of an electrical body in the universe, that it coats itself with a glowing sheath. So the actual sun, whatever it is, resides deep within that thing we call the sun. And what we're actually looking at is a huge electrical discharge.